eBay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls here at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But we ask you to hold your calls for the time being. We have with us on the line Tom Elias. And of course, we're going to have to screen Tom over here. He hasn't been screened. He's on the line, but we can't pick him up. So I'm going to put him on hold. And if our producer will just screen him on over, why we'll go from there. But, you know, it's very difficult for the average American to really face the evil or understand the evil we're up against. You would think that if there was an effective treatment for cancer, that this, of course, would be something that everybody would want to have available. But, of course, as you begin to study this more and more, and as we talk to Tom, why we find out that certainly there is a very definite evidence effort to suppress a very effective treatment for cancer. And so with us is Tom Elias talking about his book, The Brzezinski Breakthrough. Hi, Tom. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, Stan. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
And pleasure, of course, to be on your show again.
Well, it's always good having you. And, of course, this is really one of my favorite subjects because there are a number of effective treatments for cancer. And, of course, there are various types of cancer and there are various effective treatments. But Dr. Brzezinski's treatment is a very, very effective one. And yet, of course, this is being very effectively suppressed here in the United States. So that every effort has been made by the people within the FDA to keep from, you know, allowing his treatment to be made available to suffering people. And not only that, but they've actually tried repeatedly to indict him, and at least on one occasion they did, and a long and detailed and expensive trial. He was victorious. But, of course, the people responsible in the government, why, they got comfortable jobs working in private industries, didn't they?
Well, actually, the two people most responsible for this absolute travesty, which is, it's a classic for one of your opening lines there, how illusion rules and disinformation rules, you know, Stan? It's a classic, but the two people most responsible for this are guys, one man named Michael Friedman, M.D., and another named David Kessler, M.D. David Kessler was the commissioner of the Food and Drug Administration at the time of the persecution of Dr. Brzezinski, and the prosecution and persecution. And Michael Friedman was his deputy at the FDA for much of that time, and prior to that, he was the associate director of the National Cancer Institute for Cancer Therapy Evaluation Programs, which means he was the guy in charge of evaluating all new cancer drugs, and he managed to sabotage all trials of Brzezinski's drug. He managed to stack the deck so that there's no way the drug could have succeeded.
But he actually knew that it worked. That's what was so incomprehensible.
I've got a memo sitting in front of me that proves he knew that it works.
And, of course, knowing full well that it worked, he blocked it. And this is so true of so many things that are happening, going on today.
That's right. But what I wanted to say, though, is that these guys have now ended up in California, Stan.
They've got nice plums.
They've got plum jobs in California. Michael Friedman, for a time, after he left the FDA, was senior vice president of Monsanto. That's been eaten up by another company now. He was senior vice president of their Abbott Laboratories division.
I'm going to have to interrupt you there because we're going to have to go to a quick break. We'll be right back.
Good.
Our guest is Tom Elias. The book is The Brzezinski Breakthrough, and you'll certainly want to read that. And, of course, have it available for friends who may be suffering from cancer. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our special guest this afternoon is Tom Elias. We're talking about his book, The Pazinski Breakthrough. And Dr. Pazinski is a physician who practices in Texas, a brilliant individual who had come here as a refugee from Poland, had found a very effective cancer drug, had been able to develop this on his own. He had tried to work with the drug companies, and of course, they weren't interested in working with him. They were interested in stealing his discovery. And so he has, of course, gone ahead and treated patients on his own perfectly legally, you know, and then, of course, everything has been done on the part of the government and government officials to persecute him, to try to indict him, eventually to indict him along. How much did the government spend on that trial against Dr. Pazinski that they eventually lost?
The best estimate I've seen is $60 million.
So they wasted $60 million of ours to pursue something, get rid of a bad doctor? No, to block a good doctor, to try to put a good doctor in jail. And they admitted he was a good doctor, but of course supposedly he had violated the law. He had shipped a drug interstate, and oh, what a terrible crime that would be.
Well, actually, he didn't do it.
I know.
Right.
But, of course, that was their contention, and they spent $60 million really to try to get him. And when you have a government that's that irresponsible and there is no recourse for the people and there certainly is no punishment for the wrongdoers, then we are all in trouble and no man's life or property are safe. Why would they actually block an effective cancer treatment?
Well, it has a lot to do with money. And I've managed to determine that in ways that establish it to about a 98% certainty, I would say. Not without some little doubt, you couldn't call it proof in a court of law, but I've got a pretty good timeline to show you what happened here. But what I wanted to say about the two key, what you might call villains in this piece, Michael Friedman has moved to California after having worked for some time at Monsanto immediately after leaving the FDA. And because he was merged out of a job at Monsanto, landed on his feet. He's president of the City of Hope National Medical Center in Duarte in Southern California, very world-famous place, and I shudder to think what happens to them now. And the other gentleman, David Kessler, who was his boss at the FDA, and the two of these guys together presided over the prosecution of Dr. Pazinski. Kessler has now just been named within the last 2 weeks as Chancellor of the University of California at San Francisco. And that's a step up from where he was before. He was the Dean of the Medical School at Yale immediately after leaving the FDA.
Hang on there with that thought. We'll be right back as soon as we bring on this other station. Well, Dr. Stan and our guest, of course, is Tom Elias. We're talking about the book, The Pazinski Breakthrough, and Dr. Pazinski has a very effective treatment for certain types of cancer, not for all types of cancer, but certainly for brain tumors that, of course, not responded to any of the conventional therapy, and these people were doomed to die. And he saved an awful lot of these, and there are certain other cancers where his treatment is very, very effective, and the government knows it, and they are suppressing it. And you say, why would anybody do that? Money? Or, of course, Tom, I believe there's just evil people out there that certainly money may play a part, but I believe that there are other motivations because there has been a conscious effort for many years to suppress many effective, certainly, cancer treatments. But this is certainly one of the most exciting ones.
Well, you know, I don't go beyond the money because I've got the money pretty well nailed down, Stan, the money motive. But there are other motives here, too. American scientists have been quoted when talking about Pazinski as saying, if there was a cancer treatment out there, don't you think some American would have found it? Not some little Polish refugee? I mean, that's absurd. I mean, what do you say to Marconi and the radio? And Einstein, for instance, he was just a little German refugee, right?
Right.
You know, and you can go on and on with the immigrants that have contributed some of the best inventions in America, in American history. Even Robert Fulton was an immigrant from Ireland. And so it goes back quite a ways with the immigrants making the huge contributions in the United States.
So why don't you explain to our listeners how this system, how this works? What is the product? Why is it effective? And, of course, what do we know about its effectiveness?
I'll explain it all, and I hope I can do it in concise form for you, Stan. What we're talking about here are peptides that occur naturally in the blood of healthy people, but are almost absent. They may be present in some very small quantities, but they're almost absent in the blood of people with cancer. And Brzezinski, while still in Poland, discovered 117 of these chemicals running around in your blood and mine, Stan, that nobody else had found before. Or if they'd seen them, they hadn't paid any attention to them, didn't think they were of any significance. But Brzezinski thought these were messenger chemicals that would, in fact, convey a message to cells and even to the level of inside the cell with the DNA. And that's been proven now, but not by Brzezinski, but it's been proven that these peptides have that effect by researchers at Johns Hopkins University, one of the most reputable, best-known medical facilities in the United States. What happens is that essentially the peptides that Brzezinski infuses into your blood when he's treating you turn off the tumor. They restart a process called apoptosis, which is the natural process of cell division and death. Normally, all of our cells, except our brain cells, reproduce regularly, and the old cell dies off and the new one lives on, and that's how our bodies survive. But what happens in a cancer is that the cell divides and nothing dies. And so you get this uncontrolled growth going on and on and on. And what Brzezinski has discovered, and it's been confirmed at Hopkins, as I say, is that very frequently there's a particular gene called the tumor suppressor gene, the P53 tumor suppressor gene, so named for its position on your DNA, which gets covered with chemicals known as methyl groups. And these peptides come into they enter the cell from the blood. They have to cover your whole body then, and they essentially react chemically with the methyl groups and wash them away, and then free this sort of suffocated gene to restart the process of suppressing a tumor and start that process of cell division and death going again instead of cell division and continued survival, which will eventually kill the patient. So that's how it works. Now, how well does it work? Well, if you look in the back of my book, you'll see some charts, and I know you have, and those charts will show you that against brain tumors, this drug is about 1,000 times more successful than the standard treatments. It's not to say there's never been a success with the standard treatments of radiation and chemotherapy, but only about 5 out of 1,000 patients will survive 5 years from astrocytomas, glioblastomas, anaplastic gliomas, brainstem gliomas, oligodendrogliomas, and I could go on naming some of these brain tumors, but these are fearful things. They grow very, very fast, and at the time that I wrote the book, on his clinical trials, these are FDA-approved clinical trials, Brzezinski had treated 221 patients for brain tumors, and he had 29 of them in complete remission at that point. So already his rate is about 50 times better than the standard rate. But then he's got 34 more of those 221 who are in partial remission at that time. And remember, those 34 who are in partial remission have been on the drug at that time for varying lengths of time, and many of them would progress to complete remission. Then he had another 78 patients whose tumors had stopped growing or had reduced by less than half in 6 months on the treatment at this time, which means that he had either stopped the tumors or gotten rid of them in 65% of the people that he treated for brain tumors, and only about 35% did the tumor progress and get worse. That's a rate that is utterly phenomenal compared to the regular treatments, and they simply can't believe it. the establishment scientists. But since 1991, none of them have come and taken a look at what's going on, with two exceptions. One was a fellow by the name of Burdick, who in 1997, during Brzezinski's criminal trial, filed a report with the judge that showed that Brzezinski's drug was about 60 times more effective than the standard treatments. Another is a fellow by the name of Dr. Fred Epstein, who is the chief of pediatric neuro-oncology at Beth Israel Medical Center and the Albert Einstein Medical School in New York. He was about to start a clinical trial using Brzezinski's treatment and his methods in New York about a year and a half ago, when he had a fearful bicycle accident, and he's been crippled ever since, but he's on his way back, and maybe we'll get that trial site going. But those are the only two establishment physicians who have taken a real hard look at these numbers since then.
Well, my understanding, though, was that certainly sometime in the past, why three doctors were sent there to actually check, and they looked at
that's
the x-rays.
Right.
And
that's
why don't you tell us that story?
Well, that's what I mentioned in 1991. Remember I said since 1991.
Right. Well, what happened in 91?
In 91, the National Cancer Institute sent a team of three of its top physicians, including a gentleman named Nicholas Petronas, who at that time was director of neuroradiology for the National Cancer Institute. So he was the country's top brain radiologist. These people went down to Brzezinski's clinic in Houston, Texas, and they looked at a series of the records of his patients, and they reported back that these things worked. Their exact language is printed in my book. But here's the key thing that relates to what we were talking about earlier. Upon looking at their report and looking at the records that they brought back with them to the National Cancer Institute, Michael Friedman, who was then the associate director of NCI for evaluating new cancer drugs, wrote a memo, and I'm looking at a copy of it as I sit here. It says, "Antineoplastins deserve a closer look. The agents are well-defined, pure chemical entities. The human brain tumor responses are real." So this man knew in 1991 that this drug works. He said so. And then he goes ahead and presides over the prosecution of Dr. Brzezinski. Now, why? Well, it has more to do with attempted theft of the drug than it does with suppression of the drug. Certainly, they wanted to suppress it first, but in order that one of the companies they were allied with, and a couple of key people at the FDA went to work for this company later on, but the idea was that this company could take this drug and make a ton of money off it and pay the government royalties for doing so. So the National Cancer Institute would have money added to its budget as well, and everybody could build their empires. Now, I think that's pretty evil. I agree with you. And I can prove this via a timeline. This is not conjecture now, Stan.
All right, fine. So they've effectively suppressed this book, and an awful lot of people have died in the
meantime. Not the book. They couldn't suppress the book. The drug.
Right. I'm sorry. They suppressed the drug, and an awful lot of people have died. And one of them was a little boy, and I'm sure you know the case. In fact, we have a four-tape set we put together, and we have an interview with the father when he was still trying to get treatments for his son, and the FDA said that his son couldn't be treated. And when we get back, of course, I want to I have Tom tell you that story. It's really a touching, touching story. And, of course, you realize how totally evil, in my estimation, are these people when the government were, because they wanted this boy to have radiation that they knew would destroy his mind. And, of course, until he'd had all the radiation, he couldn't have the treatment. What did he have to lose? He's going to die. And eventually he did die. But I will tell you, when you hear that story, it's one of the most infuriating ones you've ever heard. We're going to be back in just a few minutes with Tom, and we'll welcome your calls here at 888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295.
Now, most people would laugh at the idea that there is or has been a secret society. I wanted to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago, and it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes. And how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who is Bill Clinton's mentor, you understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the four tapes up, the secret government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
Hello, this is health journalist Bill Sardi. By the time you reach the retirement years, the average American will be taking 7 different prescription medications. Wouldn't it be nice to stay healthy and avoid taking all those pills? One unusual molecule has been shown to be effective in maintaining health, allicin, the active ingredient in fresh garlic. You won't find much allicin in regular store-bought garlic pills, but you will in Alimax, the only 100% pure allicin garlic extract now being imported from Britain. Call 866-405-4000 to learn more about Alimax. That's 866-405-4000.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly I want to talk to you a little bit about the Big Berkey water filter, and it's certainly the standard water filter. It's used throughout the world, and of course it's been used by missionaries for many years, and it's made out of stainless steel. It'll filter about 25 gallons of water a day. You put the water in the top, you take it out the bottom, and of course it then runs through these ceramic filters that are filled with activated charcoal, and of course it'll take out all the bacteria and cryptosporidium and E. coli. It certainly will take out many of the chemicals and many of the pesticides. And, of course, a very, very effective means of filtering your water. And if you have bad taste in your water, it usually will taste ever so much better. The Big Berkey ordinarily costs $279. It's available for $239 from Radio Liberty. And, of course, you'll get a four-tape set, or you'll get a video right along with that that we have produced if you buy it through us. So if you'd like to get a Big Berkey water filter so that you can be sure that wherever you are or whatever you're doing, you can have potable water. It'll filter water from ponds and rivers and streams. Give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. The Big Berkey is available in every state in the Union except for the state of California and Iowa. Now, if you'd like to get a filter that's here, a good portable filter that you can move and use in your home and use in your RV and use in your recreational vehicle, it's called the Berkey Light. And the Berkey Light is made of a clear, transparent substance, so it's the same thing you make bulletproof glass out of, so that you can actually see the water level. The filters are different. They're called the Black Berkey filters. They're really more efficient than the treatment we've talked about, than the Big Berkey, but they have to be replaced every 2 to 4 years, much more frequently than the Big Berkey water filters. Berkey Light is $199. If you'd like to see pictures of it, go to our website at RadioLiberty.com or call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Well, Dr. Stan back here from Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is Tom Elias. We're talking about his book, The Brzezinski Breakthrough. Tom, before we get into this story of somebody had called and asked about the treatment for colon cancer. Is this an effective treatment for colon cancer?
Well, there are varieties of it that are. The infusion treatment that I had described earlier, where the peptides are infused into your blood, has turned out not to be terribly effective on colon cancer. But Dr. Brzezinski has discovered that a drug that was approved by the FDA about three years ago, for the treatment of a rare form of childhood anemia, when you consume it, metabolizes in the liver and changes into the exact chemical makeup as one of his anti-neoplastins. And for some reason that we don't understand, this treatment is more effective against colon cancer than the infusion treatment is, and it turns out to be very effective. And in my book, you'll see a chart of some very early results of patients treated with this drug called sodium phenylbutyrate. Brzezinski had treated, as of the date of the book, 21 patients with colon cancer using the phenylbutyrate, and he had achieved, it's either stopped the disease or gotten rid of it or partially gotten rid of it in all but four cases that he had treated. And that rate is much better than the rate of improvement and halting of the disease with the regular treatment, with the regular infusion treatment of his drug. The drug, by the way, is called anti-neoplastins. I don't think we had mentioned that. You need to, before you decide to go to Brzezinski with this, you need to consult the Brzezinski Clinic and send records so that they can tell whether they think they can help you. If they don't think they can help you, they'll tell you so.
And let me just comment, as a physician, I had a friend of mine who had a multiple myeloma, so I called down, and of course, if you have your physician call, why, they will put you in touch with the physician, and I said, what do you think about multiple myeloma? He said, we're not having very good results with that. Fine. Honest, straightforward, no sense going down if they're not encouraged. So I was really very, very impressed with their honesty and integrity and their approach to it. If we can't help you, no sense coming to see us.
That's their approach, and it's an approach that has won them an awful lot of, that has won Dr. Brzezinski an awful lot of adherence. When you say them, by the way, you should understand he employs about 135 people right now, including five other MDs licensed in the United States, and quite a few MDs from foreign countries who are not licensed to actually practice medicine, but can function to interview patients and get information and help out in the treatment process. And they also, some of these MDs and PhDs from foreign countries are also researching new forms of the anti-neoplastins, more concentrated forms so you don't have to take it all the time when you're on the infusion treatment, or ways to improve the oral treatment, the capsules and the pills we're talking about, that would make it more intense so that you could go off the infusion treatment earlier and make the experience much more comfortable. Key thing to be noted that I don't think I mentioned before is because this treatment acts only on these genes that are covered up and suffocated and aren't working properly and gets them restarted, it really doesn't have any effect on healthy tissue. And therefore, this drug is non-toxic. You're not going to be nauseated all the time if you're on this treatment. You're not going to be having your hair fall out. You're not going to have these kind of severe discomforts and disabilities. You will probably, if you're on the infusion treatment, you'll be taking in a lot of liquid, and therefore you'll probably have to be running to the bathroom a lot. But most people think that's a pretty small price to pay.
Amen to that. Well, when we get back, certainly I want to talk about, what's the little boy's name we were talking about?
Thomas Navarro.
Thomas Navarro. And it's one of the most infuriating things when you realize that here's the federal government bureaucrats that have an agenda, and they're going to do everything they can to stop this boy from being treated, even though his alternative is death. And, of course, there is no punishment for them. They got off scot-free. In fact, they get nice, fancy jobs, probably with a good retirement system.
Thomas Navarro is not the first, either.
I know, and it's an infuriating story. We'll be back in just a moment here.
Well, let me tell you about some of the four tape sets we have. One special tape set is the Tuskegee Study, and it's four interviews with people who were involved with the Tuskegee Study, or at least who've gone into the background of this really most horrible of all American experimentation. We had the unique opportunity to interview a number of the men who were involved in analyzing the Tuskegee Study, a government-sponsored study where 400 black men were recruited, and they had syphilis, and of course, what they did not understand is that they were not being recruited to be treated, they were being recruited not to be treated, and the government agents did everything they could to block those men from receiving treatment for their syphilis. Call today at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. It's important that you understand that study so you can better understand the mentality of the men who are working behind the scenes in America today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just want to mention a couple of the products that we carry. One of them, of course, are Miracle 2 products. Now, we can't make any healthcare claims for medical Miracle 2 products, but certainly we can tell you that many of the people who use them tell us all sorts of stories about really how it's helped them and how they've been useful around the house and how they've used them, you know, for insecticides and used them as fertilizers and brush their teeth with a gel, and we can't, all we can do is tell you that these people are very, very, very happy with that product, and if you'd like to know more about it, you can call us at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. There's a soap, and there's a moisturizing soap, and I've used that for showering for a good long time. There is a gel, which, of course, you can use for many, many purposes on the skin and your hair, and brush your teeth with it if you want to. There's a lotion. Call us at 1-800-544-8927. Ask for about Miracle 2 soap products. And then, of course, we carry Phenopoly. It's a board game played like Monopoly that will actually teach children and adults and even old folks like me how to read phonetically, spell phonetically, and pronounce words phonetically, designed by Myrna Culbraith, who actually produced the phonics game. This is a different type of game. It's played like Monopoly, and, of course, it's loads of fun. But in the process, you learn to sound out words, you learn the 40 sounds of the English language, you learn, you know, the 12 rules of the English language, and I've had people 60 years old come on and say, boy, you know, I've really learned so much, and I'm going to play this again. So if you'd like to know about Phenopoly, or you'd like to order one, most of these programs, $300-$500, this is $139.95, call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Phenopoly right now. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and of course, somebody had just called and asked for the telephone number for the Brzezinski Clinic. Do you by any chance have that, Tom?
713-335-5697.
713-335-9697.
No, 5697.
5697.
Correct.
All right, fine.
335-5697.
Okay, we've got that, fine. And right before we get to Thomas Navarro, let's go to Ben, who's calling from Salinas. Hi, Ben, you got a question or comment?
I certainly do, sir. At $100 billion a day for a new generation of atomic bombs, $100 billion for a shield that will only put it in the air and kill us slower, 200 million of us, $100 billion to occupy and kill Iraqis, all with U.S. taxpayer dollars, sir. How much billions are spent to alleviate the pain and suffering of people that are listening to you, sir? How many billions are given to you to develop this cancer treatments that might alleviate the pain and suffering of those of us whose taxpayer dollars those are, sir?
Actually, no money has been, no federal money has been spent on this particular cancer treatment, other than to try to suppress it and steal it, as I mentioned.
I have a son in medical school in Madison, Wisconsin. That is exactly what he says. They even have some cures that are suppressed. I won't name the companies, but, you know, we have to look at what Reagan, Clinton, Bush, and all these people in the bureaucracy, those are just the titles on the books. There's a whole bureaucracy in the federal government that is letting this being done to us, and if that's not Hitler-esque, and why the people don't vote these people out of office and take our country back is beyond me, sir, but God bless you, and Dr. Stan.
All right, fine. And let me just suggest to you, Ben, that we have a most amazing interview you've ever heard. You can get the transcript of it simply by calling us at 1-8. It's called The New Barbarians, and it was a talk that was given in 1969. The New Barbarians. Give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV. We'll get the transcript of the 4-tape set. God bless you. Thanks so much for calling.
Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye. Okay.
Ben, if you want, you can read my column in the Salinas, California, by the way.
And, of course, you can get Tom's book. You can read his column in the Salinas, California.
And 72 other newspapers around California.
All right, fine. That's Tom Elias, a columnist, author, and certainly one of my favorite guests. You want to get his book. It's 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV, where the title is The Brzezinski Breakthrough. Why don't you go ahead and, of course, tell us a little bit about Thomas Navarro.
Thomas Navarro was a four-year-old child when he was diagnosed with a very severe brain tumor. I think the diagnosis was in about 1999. And little Thomas was the son of a former Green Beret colonel who had a business in Tucson, Arizona. His brain tumor was a PNET, also known as a medulloblastoma. And the preferred treatment by the establishment treatment for medulloblastomas is what's called full brain radiation. That was the preferred treatment at the time. It still is the usual treatment, but there are some new, more targeted forms of radiation that they've tried, but they haven't still had much success with them. In any case, what they have found is that with full brain radiation, the 5-year survival rate for children with medulloblastomas, and it usually is a pediatric tumor, by the way, the medulloblastoma, that survival rate over 5 years is just slightly less than 20%. If you go out beyond 5 years to 8 years, the survival rate is about 5%. But here's the key, and the reason why the Navarro family rebelled against the conventional treatment. And that is that, and every neuro-oncologist will tell you this is true. If you take a small child of that age and radiate their brain completely with the doses used in this case, they are going to lose between 25 and 40 IQ points over the course of the treatment. Now that means that these children are, rather than growing up to be nuclear scientists or college professors or radio talk show hosts, Stan, they're going to instead be flipping hamburgers or pushing a broom. But as the head of the Pediatric Brain Tumor Consortium for the United States told me when I asked him about the Navarro case, he said, at least we know they're going to be functional adults when they survive.
How do they know if they've only got adequate average intelligence when they start out? They could end up as morons.
Well, that's it. They do end up as morons, and the Navarros didn't want that to happen to little Thomas. So they refused the treatment. But the doctors went to the Arizona Child Care Authorities, and they got a court order that compelled the parents to subject Thomas to the standard radiation treatment, or they would lose custody of the child. They'd take him away. And so what happened then is that Jim Navarro, the father, had to abandon his business in Tucson and take to the road. This family were nomads for more than 3 years. They spent 6 months in Houston trying to get the FDA to permit little Thomas to take Brzezinski's treatment. Then they went to Pittsburgh, and they went to Syracuse, and they were in New York City when the tumor recurred again. It had been removed surgically in Tucson, by the way, but these tumors always recur if there isn't some kind of follow-up treatment, either radiation or, in the best case, the antineoplastin treatment.
But, of course, if they have radiation, is there any guarantee that will cure it?
No, as I said, the 5-year cure rate is a little bit under 20% for that. That means that a little bit more than 80% of the children who get this treatment are going to die anyway. But they're going to die, as you said, as morons, which, you know, isn't a very fun thing for the parents to watch. It's not too much fun for the children either. Can you imagine struggling to think of something that you kind of realized that you knew, but you can't remember it? And this at the age of five? And just imagine the frustration. You know, those of us who are over 50, or even over 55, in my case, we know the frustration of trying to remember something that we once knew we knew. But at least some of us know where to go look it up.
Wait till you get to be 74.
What?
Wait till you get to be 74.
All right, Stan. Anyway, but that's normal, what should we say, normal development? No, I wouldn't call it development, but it's some normal degeneration. But we're talking about small children here who shouldn't be having that kind of experience. But Thomas's tumor recurred about almost a year after it had first been removed by the surgeons in Tucson. Dr. Fred Epstein in New York City, the gentleman I mentioned earlier who was getting ready to do a trial on Brzezinski's, with Brzezinski's treatment, agreed to take the tumor out surgically again for the parents without compelling them to do the radiation afterward. He knew that the tumor would recur, it would come back for a third time, but he was at least willing to give the kids some months of comfort. And so he did that, and the family went back on the road again afterwards. And finally, and they went back to Houston, and they camped out in a motel for a period of almost a year after that recurrence, trying to get the FDA to allow them to use Brzezinski's treatment. Not so much that the FDA didn't allow the child to take the treatment, but the FDA said they would jail Brzezinski if he used the treatment on the child. And Brzezinski treats too many other patients to go to jail over one. And the Navarros understood this. So it was essentially an order against the Navarros, at the same time as it was an order against Brzezinski. And so finally, a third time, his tumor recurred, and this time it was removed in early 2002 in Syracuse, New York. And the doctors there, after that surgery, gave Thomas about 2.5 weeks to live. And at that point, the FDA finally relented and said, okay, now you can take Brzezinski's treatment. Now remember, they've given the child 2.5 weeks to live. So parents take him down to Houston. He started on the treatment, but there's a million things wrong with him by this time. He's had so much stuff happen to him. His kidneys are failing. His lungs are bad. The upshot is that he was on Brzezinski's treatment, but only sporadically for the next 6 months. And during that time, he was hospitalized 3 or 4 times with problems with the lungs, problems with the kidneys that were not associated with the treatment. But each time he'd go into a hospital, he would have to be taken off the antineoplastins, and it would lose its impact because these things have to be applied steadily to have their desired effect. And you have to have the right dose or it simply won't work. And the upshot is that after 6 months of this on and off stuff, he died because he never really had the proper treatment. And that's fully at the feet of the FDA. Now, if you look at my book, you'll see his story described in brief, but a much longer story of a boy named Zach McCollum, who was a child in Phoenix with the same kind of a brain tumor, who died a couple years before Thomas did. Zach also he was a brilliant kid. I met him. Thomas I met only after he'd been through a lot of stuff, you know. So I had no idea what he might have been like when he was originally healthy. But I met Zach McConnell when he was on antineoplastins and his tumor was not present. This boy was a genius. This boy was incredibly smart. And his parents also refused to subject him to that treatment. And it's not just educated guys like Jim Navarro that won't let their kids have that treatment because they don't want their child to be a moron. I mean, Zach McCollum's parents, the father was a window washer and the mother a waitress. They weren't particularly well educated, but they worked hard and they wanted their child's potential to, they wanted their child to be able to reach his full potential. And they knew that this treatment simply wouldn't allow that. And that without this treatment, I mean, the standard treatment simply wouldn't allow that. Well, his tumor disappeared while he was on the antineoplastin treatments, which he went on prior to Brzezinski being prosecuted and at a time when Brzezinski was taking just about anybody, feeling that he could treat people that needed treatment. And under a court order, he was allowed to do that. A prior one. And so Zach's tumor was gone. And when the FDA heard that Zach's tumor was gone, they said, well, he obviously doesn't need treatment anymore, not knowing what medulloblastomas are like, that they always recur. Or sure, they knew that, but they disregarded it. So they ordered him off the treatment. And sure enough, within 2 months, his tumor was back. And this time, they wouldn't let him on the treatment for a period of some months. And when they finally let him back on, it was the same sporadic thing as it was with Tom Navarro. And eventually, around Christmas of 2001, Zach died. And that was just such a pity. If you look at my book, you'll see the letters he wrote to the FDA when they took him off the treatment. You'll see some of the things that this child said and wrote at the age of 6 and 7. Just so earnest and even articulate at that age. Very impressive young man that the FDA essentially killed.
Well, you may not think it is evil, but I certainly think that these people are wicked. And
well, I agree with you. They are wicked, but I think they're motivated by money in large part.
All right, fine. Well, the important thing is we get the message out and people understand that there really are people working for our government that are not there to help us. The book is The Brzezinski Breakthrough. It's available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. I was asked to repeat the telephone number for the Brzezinski Clinic, and that's 713-335-5697. That's right?
That's correct.
713-335-5697. If you have a doctor who can actually put the call in for you, you know, they could discuss this with a physician down there to find out if, you know, what the sort of whether the treatment would be applicable before you consider going down. So,
but let's level with the folks, Stan. Most doctors have been victimized by a campaign of disinformation that has employed the most significant organs of organized medicine, such as the Journal of the American Medical Association. They've been told over and over that Brzezinski is a quack and the stuff is phony. And once they see that in the medical journal, they believe it. Now, if you look at my chapter 6, where I take apart what's been printed in the Journal of the American Medical Association and elsewhere, I take it apart line by line and expose all the lies. And I also expose, in the words of the editor who handled that particular article, I tell you exactly why it's there, why they did it.
Why did he do it?
He did it so that doctors whose patients say they want to go to Brzezinski will have something credible they can show their patients to convince them not to do it. But they never showed even a scintilla of evidence that this drug doesn't work, because the guy who wrote the article never visited Brzezinski's clinic, never looked at a single patient record. All he did is read what had been written before and cough it back up. And a lot of the things that he did say, that he where he quoted people, were inaccurate. And I exposed that, too, by using some written information both from that gentleman who wrote that article in JAMA, and some written information from the people that he quoted, who denied saying the things that he quoted them as saying. So what we have here is this campaign of disinformation. It extended into my own personal life. It was very interesting. For several months, this year. My son was very seriously involved with a young woman who is has an MD and is currently working on a PhD at Stanford University, where my son has just finished law school, and so they met there. And this girl had been so totally brainwashed that when the subject of Brzezinski came up around our family dinner table, it was like a war, because she just simply wouldn't listen.
Well, I know. Unfortunately, we have a lot of people educated far beyond their intelligence. We're out of time, Tom. God bless you. I appreciate it. And, is your son still going with her?
Nope.
Okay.
And I'm rather happy about that.
All right. Well, anyway, thank you so much for being with us. It's always a pleasure. And again, the book, The Brzezinski Breakthrough. Give us
a call.
Okay,
thank you very much, Dan.
Bye-bye.
Pleasure to be with you.
Okay. And we'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, if there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the Boer War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and let me just mention, we have an excellent four-tape set. It's called The Brzezinski Breakthrough, or Brzezinski, and of course we have a four-tape set on cancer. Why do we still have cancer? And a four-tape set on genocide, and we have tapes on so many things, but I think our four-tape set on Brzezinski is excellent. Interviews with Tom Elias, interviews with Thomas Navarro's father, an interview with Dr. Brzezinski himself. All of this is available from Radio Liberty. Give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Get the book, understand there really are evil people out there, and which is, of course, why I wrote my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, so that you'll understand we're involved in a spiritual battle, and, of course, being carried out on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield. It's also being carried out on a medical battlefield, and unfortunately, many of our physicians, have been getting faulty information in their medical schools and from medical journals. And so, and then, of course, I want to just mention the MediShare program. MediShare is certainly a health-sharing program that will save you from financial ruin. It's a Christian program. You can save thousands of dollars in medical costs while providing security for your family. MediShare is biblical. This is a community of committed, caring Christians who will be there in your time of need. They'll share your medical bills, pray for you, send cards, and send letters of encouragement. To learn more about MediShare, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. We'll get a booklet to you, and it is a sharing program. And, of course, we've checked it out. It comes from the American Evangelistic Association, and I'm convinced it's an excellent approach in times like this where so many people, frankly, cannot afford the ridiculous costs of health care insurance. And then, of course, I just want to mention some of the items that you can get through Radio Liberty that we hope you'll give serious consideration to obtaining. And certainly one of them would be our four-tape set on why do we still have cancer? And I mentioned this just a moment ago. But have you ever wondered why we still have cancer? Well, I was talking when we had our caller a little earlier about a transcript of a talk that was given by Dr. Richard Day, who is the director of Medical Care, the medical director of Planned Parenthood. It was a talk that was given in 1961. And, of course, one of the people listening in the audience took notes on what was said and recorded it. And, of course, he tells this story in a four-tape set. And you can get the transcript of much of what he said by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Ask for the New Barbarians. You can get the transcript or the four-tape set, or get them together. And, of course, if you get them together, you'll never look at the world through the same eyes again. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and, of course, this is the time when we want to mention that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you out there will want to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're able to do what we do 5 hours every day and reach out across America and pay for all of the various things, the shortwave and the satellite time, and for the radio stations we're on, and certainly for the Internet. And, of course, you can listen to our Internet programs 5 hours a day, or get a lot of archive programs by going to RadioLiberty.com, RadioLiberty.com, and then tell other people about it. Put it up on the Internet. We're building up a great Internet listening audience by people telling people by telling people. And, of course, we're not going to give you the official party line that you'll get from the establishment conservative commentators, and some of them have done a good job. I mean, they brought people from the far left to the middle, but they're going to keep them right there because they're the finest conservatives that money can buy. And, of course, we're going to tell you things that you're not going to hear on most other talk radio programs. We're going to tell you things you're not going to hear from a lot of our conservative leaders, a lot of our Christian leaders, because, of course, they have far more fear of government or of losing supporters than they have of God. And we're going to tell you what we think is going on. We're going to tell you we're aligned against evil forces, that Satan is alive and well, and I believe he expects us to be involved in this truly spiritual battle that is being waged today to determine whether this nation or any nation conceived under God can long endure. How do you think God feels about the latest Supreme Court decisions? And remember, every day when the Supreme Court opens, the choir comes in and says, God save the United States and this august court. Every day they open with the Word of God. And yet, of course, we can't mention this, and they're saying that you can't have any laws, moral laws of the local community. Something's seriously wrong. Maybe these people in the Supreme Court ought to read of the Constitution and the 10th Amendment. And we've abandoned rule by law and by God's law, and we've gone to rule by man, which is what happens in every country that turns against God. And the reason they've gotten away with it is because of the silence of the church. If you want to know why the Supreme Court took God and prayer out of our schools and the Ten Commandments, you need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. That's Brotherhood of Darkness, or get the four-tape set that goes along with that. Get the video that goes along with that. They have the Brotherhood of Darkness special, which is the book, the video, and then, of course, the audio tape. The audio tape is the tape of the video. In fact, the book came from the video rather than the video coming from the tape. It's a story that will really explain to you what's going on, and hopefully it'll change your life. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the Brotherhood of Darkness. And then we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival. We ask you to pray for our ministers, because they should be leading the spiritual struggle. We ask you to pray, certainly, for our leaders as well. But please remember to pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, Dr. Stan, goodbye. May the Lord be with you.